Hey TLSers, this is David Hayward, and today I'm talking with one of our TLS members, Christy Madrid. She's one of the most upbeat, confident, happy people I know, and it's just been a real pleasure to get to know her, and it's been a real pleasure today to talk with her, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with you guys. So here's Christy Madrid. Hello, Christy.
Hi, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good, good. So good to hear your voice.
It is, isn't it? It's nice to be able to put a voice with a face and a profile picture.
Yeah, yeah. So you've been a member of the Lasting Supper for quite a while now, but I think you have a fascinating story, and I couldn't wait to interview you and get people to hear a little bit about your story and what's going on. So first of all, where do you live?
I live in Sarasota, Florida.
Mm-hmm. Is that where you're from?
It's not. I'm from Michigan. I was actually born in Indiana, and we moved around a little bit for the first couple years of my life, and then we settled in Michigan. I was born and raised, or I was raised anyway, in Traverse City, Michigan. It's about 4 hours north of Detroit.
Oh, okay. Wow. You went way south.
Mm-hmm. I did. I couldn't wait to get out. It was the typical, you know, teenager waiting to run from the small town.
Oh, yeah. And, I did the opposite with Lisa, my wife. She's from Alabama, and now we're all the way up here in Canada.
Wow, that
yeah.
is crazy.
Yeah, so I've been to Florida a few times, mm-hmm. and my wife obviously been there many times for the beaches.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so tell us a little bit about yourself. It sounds like you have a really, really fascinating story.
I was born into a family.
Oh, I was, well, I was too.
You've got a great sense of humor. I was, my parents were both going to a independent fundamental Baptist college in Indiana. When I was born, it was called Hiles Anderson College. They are most recently known for their current sex scandals involving their, what used to be president, Jack Scop.
Okay.
Who was actually a very good friend of my father's during college, and my dad was pretty devastated when this came out. But both my parents, they were involved in the ministry. They were raising their kids to be good Christians. We moved around. My dad took a job. He was never very interested in being in the ministry after he had kids, but of course that was really the only thing he had, considering the college wasn't accredited.
Right.
So he jumped around between a couple churches. We had moved to Arizona for a bit as his parents were growing older, but he hated the weather. Oh, he hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back to Michigan, and once I had gone into grade school, he did not want to be in the ministry. He had always heard that and always experienced that it was the pastor's kids that were the worst.
Oh, okay.
So he took a job as a probation officer for the county, and worked his way up. By the time I was a teenager, he was the only judge in a very small town. So,
oh, wow.
Yes, that put a lot of pressure on me. Everybody knew me and my brother. Everybody knew who we belonged to.
Yeah, yeah.
And we couldn't do anything without my dad finding out about it first. But,
so what's the difference between that and a pastor's kid, really?
Not a whole lot,
no.
Actually. Not a whole lot at all. I don't think he really anticipated that.
Yeah.
But my dad and I were very, very similar, but both very stubborn. We're both very opinionated.
Mm-hmm.
And we did not get along the best when I was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
We bumped heads quite a bit. And one of the areas we bumped heads with the most was over college. He
okay.
wanted me to go to the college that my parents went to. I did not. I had no interest in it whatsoever. I had been there numerous times for different, like, youth conferences with church, but it was not something I was interested in, and I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the one to kind of stand up to my dad the most. And
so
we
how early were you sort of being steered that way by your dad?
Oh, my goodness, from the time I was born.
Oh, okay, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
From the time I was born, it was church, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, youth group. I went to the teeny tiny Christian school that our church had. My high school graduating class consisted of two girls,
oh,
me
wow.
and my friend. That was it.
Oh my goodness.
That was absolutely it.
So how soon did you know your dad wanted you to go to his college?
That was just an assumption I always had growing up.
Okay.
It was always. That's what was expected. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And truth of the matter is, it was expected of all of us. My girlfriend, who was the other one in my graduating class, she went to college there. It was just my brother. Now, my brother did not go to college there, but only because there was a closer college that closely resembled it that opened up. But it was always the expectation that you went to youth group, then you graduated from your good little Christian school, then you went to the Christian college, you became a pastor's wife or, you know, a Sunday school teacher or something along those lines, and you raised babies and you went on your happy merry way.
Right.
That was never in my game plan. From the time I was very little, I was always very independent. I was always very bullheaded and opinionated. And I struggled a lot with what the church was teaching, even though I didn't really understand it at the time. There were things that didn't sound right to me,
right.
But I didn't question them because, I mean, who was I to question it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we did finally compromise on college. He told me that if I went to a Christian college for 1 year, then he would pay for college anywhere else. And of course, in the United States, college is incredibly expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
So I took him up on it, although I was not going to go to his college and I did not want to go close to home. So I found Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida, very close to Alabama.
Yep.
And I enrolled there.
So, Christy, before you move on, like you were saying, it sounded like you were desperate to get out of the house and away from your family, or was it away from Michigan, or what?
For the most part, I was trying to get away from everybody knowing who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being myself, I was always Mark Holston's daughter. I was always the probation officer's daughter, the judge's daughter. And I just wanted to get away mostly from that. Because I had always been raised in such a small town, everybody knew who I was. I just needed to get away from that concept. I just needed to be my own person for a while. There was this distance I thought would put the best separation in there. And one thing I found that when I did get to college in Florida, I found myself very homesick. And that took me completely off guard. I mean, I was not anticipating that. I'd never been homesick in my life.
Right.
And for the first 2 weeks, I continually called my dad. For the first 2 weeks I was in college, I continually called my dad between classes, crying, begging him to come get me, begging him to get me a plane ticket home. And thankfully, he did not. He knew that this was something I had to do, that I had to spread my wings, that I had to learn to stand on my own 2 feet. And I am forever thankful for him for that. There was a lot of ways in which we butted heads, but that I am forever thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after the first 2 weeks, the homesickness passed, the anxiety of not knowing anybody passed, because I knew nobody at this college, nobody. And
right.
I want to say I did well there, but there were a lot of times where I felt like I still wasn't being true to myself, just because the college that I had chosen was a Christian college, and it was very oppressive. There, as far as the rules go, there were a lot of unwritten rules. It seemed like every time you made friends with somebody, that somebody was getting expelled for something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very much a change, but it wasn't necessarily the change I was looking for.
Right.
I did not anticipate it being as repressive as it was. But right. I lasted there for 2 years. And the summer after my sophomore year, I had every intention of going back to Michigan for the summer, but my parents were kind of going through a rough time in their marriage, and I did not want to be there around that. And I had an aunt who lived in Sarasota, Florida, excuse me, here where I am. And she said, "Listen, Christy, you know, I'm going up to Michigan for your brother's high school graduation this summer. Why don't you just come back with me?" She's like, "I'll meet you up there, and then you can just come back and stay with me for the summer."
Cool.
And I was all about that. I was like, "Let's do it." So I told my dad, and he was very upset. He's always butted heads with my aunt,
mm-hmm.
and it's my mom's sister,
mm-hmm.
and he did not want me staying with her. I think because I would finally get that independence I so much really wanted.
Right.
And but I put my foot down, and I said, you know, you don't really get a choice in this anymore. I'm 20 years old, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing this. And we went to Michigan for my brother's high school graduation. We went back to Florida, and I absolutely loved it. It was, my girlfriend from Michigan had actually just moved close to Sarasota, so we kind of had this girl summer planned. It was going to be all about the two of us having fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And I got a job working around the corner from where my aunt lived, and the manager, it was a restaurant, a small little bakery and cafe.
Right.
And the guy who was managing it was a very nice guy named Marco. And I ended up marrying him.
I see where this is going. Yeah.
Yes. And there was a time, like, I was fully planning on going back to that college in the fall. And my aunt has two young children. They were 12 or 13 at the time. And the son had he was part of a little rock band. And they used to have practice at my aunt's house. Mm-hmm. And there was this one particular time where I went to get the mail and the guys were taking a break. They were in the kitchen getting, you know, food, whatever. And one of the pieces of mail that had come for me was from the college just saying, hey, you know, the fall semester's starting soon, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And I was just like, man, I do not want to go back there. And one of the kids in my cousin's band walks over and he was just like, then don't. And it was just one of those moments in life where, like, everything becomes crystal clear, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just like, you're right. Like, why would I go back? And I walked to my bedroom and I called my dad and I told him I wasn't going back to college. And that did not go over well.
Mm-hmm.
He told me he forbid it. And I told him he didn't really have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not go back to college in the fall. I transferred to a college here in Sarasota where I finished up. And I started dating Marco.
Mm-hmm.
And our relationship moved very, very fast.
Right.
We met in June. We started dating in August, and we eloped in October.
You eloped?
We did. We eloped.
Awesome.
We went down to the historic courthouse, and we eloped. It was actually my idea. I proposed to him. One night we were at my aunt's house, and we were laying on the floor in front of the fireplace. And we were just talking. It was, you know, middle of the night, like mm-hmm. new relationships do. And it was just another one of those clear moments. I was just like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this guy. Like, mm-hmm. no doubt whatsoever. This is the guy I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Right.
And I rolled over and pinned his shoulders to the ground. And I said, hey. And he was like, yeah. It's like, will you marry me? And like in that moment, I was like, holy shit, what if he says no? But he said yes, and we rolled over and continued talking and went to sleep. And 2 days later, he picked me up for a date, and he had the marriage license. And
wow.
Yep. And we decided we were going to do this. We decided we didn't want to tell anybody because we were planning on having like a traditional ceremony later on.
Mm-hmm.
But we just wanted to do this for us.
Right.
And we talked about a couple different things, and we ended up just going to the courthouse a couple days later and getting married. But along with Marco, Marco had a daughter from a previous marriage who was 3 when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And she is really, I credit her with the reason that I started questioning everything. Because at this point in my life, like, it was very easy to just take everything I grew up with and push it to the side. I didn't have to decide what I believed in. I didn't have to decide anything. I was just off living my life. I could pretty much ignore it all.
Mm-hmm.
But once we got married, and Daniela was, of course, a very big part of our lives, we really started talking about, you know, going to church, whether we were going to raise her in church. He had been raised Catholic in Peru in South America.
Okay.
But wasn't really practicing. And of course, I had my own hangups with church and religion.
Is he Peruvian?
He is Peruvian.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yes, he is. And my aunt was going to a pretty progressive church for what I was used to. And we started going with her on occasional Sundays, but nothing very serious. The pastor of that church was a really, really nice guy. He is one of the very few pastors I really have respect for right now. Just a really, really incredible guy. And we went there for a while, but it was a very small church and they just couldn't keep it going. And we moved to Coral Springs near Miami for mm-hmm. a job. We ended up getting fired from the place we worked at because of, you know, the eloping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we did. But
why would you fire somebody for?
Well, there was one of the other managers was kind of looking for a way to get rid of Marco because he was kind of moving up into her position.
Oh,
and
okay.
it was just kind of a convenience thing for her more than anything.
Gotcha.
But we moved down to Coral Springs, and we did find a church down there, one we really liked. But, you know, we didn't go very often, maybe once every 2 months. Mm-hmm. And when we moved back, Daniela was attending a small Christian school that's very well known for its academics, but it wasn't super religious like where I grew up.
Right.
And we were pretty comfortable there. We liked it. We went to the church that sponsored that school for a while, but it didn't really click with us. And then we found a church in the area that was growing, that seemed really, really good. And we started going there. And we went there for like 5 years, pretty much regularly. But when Daniela started getting into like third, fourth grade, right, she started asking me questions about hell and about heaven because she was learning these things at school. And it was never anything that we ever really talked about. The church we went to was all about God's love, and it was all about his mercy and his forgiveness and
right,
his goodness. And during the summer, she had gone to a Christian summer camp that the church had taken their kids to for a long time. But for whatever reason, this year it was very different. And that particular year, it was very much hellfire and damnation and, you know, pray him down to the altar, which scared the crap out of Daniela. Mm-hmm. And she started having problems going to sleep at night because she was feeling guilty that she didn't love God enough.
Yeah.
I was absolutely torn apart. I felt so guilty for not researching who was speaking at this camp, like for just trusting that it was all going to be okay. Like, and because of that, we started talking a lot. Yeah. And I started having to get, you know, some backup for why I believed what I believed. And it just wasn't fleshing out for me. It just wasn't making sense. And Daniela has a stepdad who is Muslim. And one of the things she was really struggling with is, of course, at school and at the summer camp, she's being told that her stepdad is going to go to hell because he doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died for his sins and he didn't accept Jesus Christ into his heart.
Right.
Well, I was not going to be the one telling her, yeah, well, you know, enjoy your life with your stepdad because, yeah, he's going to hell.
Yeah.
And so I started reading books and I started looking into it. And it was at that point when I found The Lasting Supper.
Ah.
And we had not said goodbye to church completely or officially anyway. We kind of lingered on there every once in a while and went. But I found The Lasting Supper in my search for heaven and hell. And
really?
I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. It really made a lot of sense to me. And one of the things it did the most of was it just let me know that I wasn't alone.
Exactly.
Because there were so many times when I was researching Christianity and heaven and hell, and I felt like I was the only person in the entire world who had ever had these thoughts.
Exactly.
And I was just like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
So The Lasting Supper was very much kind of that buoy. It kind of kept me afloat there for a while when I just wanted to throw in the towel. But I found some books by Rob Bell, some books by Rob Reyers, and who's actually a really, really great guy. I've gotten to know him since then. And
who's the second one?
Rob Reyers. He's a very small pastor of a emergent church in Arkansas, maybe?
Okay.
Somewhere out there. We connected on Facebook and through a book review I did of his book.
Okay.
And really, really great guy. He's in his, mid to late 40s, and him and his wife just had a baby, and they're very excited about that.
So what's the name of his book that influenced you?
It's called Fundamorphosis.
Ah, that's a great title.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it was another one of those things that just kind of like let me know I'm not alone, that like if another pastor could feel this way about religion, I'm okay.
Awesome.
So it was pretty much through Daniela. Daniela would bring me questions, you know, is Muhammad going to hell? And I would have to start looking into hell and what I believed about it. And then I would take it back to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were other questions. You know, what do you think of this, mommy? What do you think of this, mommy? And it was pretty much her that kind of started me on this little faith identity crisis of mine.
Right.
And, but it was good too, because she was experiencing everything at the same time I was. So where she was feeling very left out in school because all of her friends believed something, we could talk about that. And I'm like, girl, I know. I grew up exactly like this. And I'm kind of freaking out right now because I don't know what I believe.
Hmm.
So it was very good for her to be able to get through that at the same time I was and kind of have me as that guide and where I turned to the Lasting Supper and books and everything else to be that guide for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it did. It worked out very, very well. Daniela is very confident now in what she believes, but she's also very confident in not knowing things. It's okay to not know the answers.
That's
and that was
cool.
One of the big things that I wanted to stress to her mm-hmm. was that faith is faith for a reason. We're not going to know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point we just have to be okay with that.
That's
so
very cool.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
So she hasn't stayed in that school. It only goes through middle school. So she's got another year left. But as she went into middle school, it got very much more intense in the religious atmosphere.
Hmm.
She came home at the beginning of the school year very upset because her teacher had pretty much told her that Muslims, and of course her stepdad is Muslim, that they just, the only way they get to heaven is by killing Christians. And she's not the type of girl to, you know, argue back in class where I would have been as a kid.
Yeah.
She's much more reserved in that respect. But you know, it does hurt her and it does
sure, it
worry
does.
Her.
Yeah, of course.
So it was very, is as much as I struggled going through the faith identity crisis and trying to figure out what I believed and why and where I fit in the whole scheme of how I was raised and what I'm now believing, it was a very good experience because it gave me enough confidence to be able to say to her, you know what? I believe that teacher is wrong and here's why.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's definitely something I'm glad I went through, but I'm not sure I would have said that during it.
Yeah, so we call it, let's call it deconstruction, just for lack of a mm-hmm. better word. But you went through that pretty quickly, and you sound like you've come through the worst of it. You sound pretty happy, at peace, confident.
I am. There are still times when I get hung up on certain things, and I'll just research the hell out of it, because mm-hmm. that's what I do. I research.
Right.
But at the end of the day, my husband's very good in this regard. I mean, he's kind of gone through the same thing, but he's much more organic about it. He doesn't have to know the answers.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay with him to step back and say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but how can I put love into this situation?
Cool.
Where I'm much more, you know, I need to know exactly why this translation translated it this way, and I need to look it up in Hebrew and Arabic and everything else.
Yeah, you take a more intellectual approach to it.
Yes,
or
yes,
a rational approach, yeah.
So he's a very good counterbalance for me in that regard. Every time I start driving myself crazy about something, I'm just like, okay, whoo, big picture here.
Yeah.
But, and that happens less and less often as I get away from it, just because I am at peace with the big things that were bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
I am at peace with what I believe in hell. I have no idea what I believe about heaven, but that's okay because
yeah.
I'm never going to get an answer, at least not this side of life.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of ways in which I am at peace and I am over it. But every once in a while, something does flare up that I feel like I have to find and learn.
Yeah, I totally get that because that's sort of my approach as well. I vacillate between not knowing and then really studying up on stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. How are things with you and your parents now? Did the elopement cause a huge chasm in your relationship? Or,
you know, the interesting thing is, and I still don't really know what to take of this, so I just kind of let it be as it is.
Mm-hmm.
When we told my parents, we had already been living together for several months, and I had no intention of telling my parents, but my aunt knew, and my aunt called me and she was like, Christy, you really need to tell your mom. She is flipping out about you living with him. Okay. And I'm like, are you kidding me? She was like, Christy, she just keeps crying and say you're living in sin. And I was like, oh, dear God. So I called my mom. I was on my way home from work, and I'd stopped by a Blockbuster to rent a video. And I'm walking through Blockbuster, and I'm telling my mom, and people are looking at me because obviously it's an interesting conversation. And I'm like, Mom, we got married like 6 months ago. And I didn't really know what to expect from her.
Oh, wow.
And she was just, she was so happy. She was so overjoyed because I wasn't living in sin.
That is so hilarious.
Isn't it? Like, I was like, Mom, do you understand what I'm telling you? And she just kept saying, oh, now I can be excited about you decorating your apartment. And now I can be excited about this. And I'm like, are you kidding me? For a piece of paper? But, you know, my mom is my mom and she's not going to change who she is. But I did not tell my dad. She told my dad. And I know my dad went through some pretty rough emotions about that. Mm-hmm. And of course, growing up in Michigan, I was very sheltered. It's a very conservative, very close-minded place where I grew up. Mm-hmm. And all my dad can picture is his little girl, you know, being married to this drug smuggling gun runner from South America, you know? And he was apparently, and I didn't find this out till later, but apparently he did buy a couple plane tickets to come and rescue me, but thought better of it and did not board the plane, which I am forever grateful for.
Wow.
But I do understand his instinct to protect me. But it was a couple, maybe a week after I told my parents that my husband called my dad and was just like, I know you probably have a lot of questions. You know, I want to apologize for doing this not conventionally. Mm-hmm. And it was an okay conversation, but we were probably married for 3 years before my dad actually started giving us any credibility.
Wow.
And I think mostly just because he was worried about me. If the marriage went south, I not only had to deal with a divorce, but I had this little girl that I had completely invested myself in.
Right.
And I would have no recourse to see her. So I think in that way, he was just more worried about me.
Mm-hmm.
But, we were married for 3.5 years before my dad and my husband met.
Wow.
Yep. We went to Michigan.
He must have been so nervous, Marco.
He wasn't.
Oh, really?
He is very laid back.
That's cool.
Very chill, just very zen. And meanwhile, I am downing vodkas on the plane. He, on the other hand, is just so excited. A lot of things that had helped is because we live in Florida, we get a lot of tourists that come down here.
Mm-hmm.
So he had already met my uncle and family who had been down here on vacation. He'd already met my former pastor I grew up with because they'd been down on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
One of my dad's best friends is a firefighter,
mm-hmm.
and he had been in the area fighting a big fire, and we had met him for dinner. So all these people that had already met Marco were taking back really good reports to my dad.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that helped kind of buffer things a lot.
Yeah.
But I was a nervous wreck. I was absolutely not handling it well. But Marco, no, he was just fine.
Oh, that's cool.
He's a very confident, very laid back kind of person. And we got off the plane. And Daniela was with us, and she absolutely adores my mom. Her and my mom have a really, really awesome relationship. And she calls my mom Grandma Sue, and my dad is Grandpa Mark. And she gets off the plane, and she sees my mom, and she runs and gives my mom a hug. And then she just looks up at my dad and goes, "Hi, Grandpa Mark!" And my dad melted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they got along really, really well. I mean, I could not ask for a better relationship between my dad and my husband. It's really, really awesome. But it was pretty rough going for a while there. And truth be told, my dad and I have never talked about it. We have never sat down and had a conversation about why I eloped, mm-hmm. or anything else. The only time we came close, and in a lot of respects, my dad and I both just kind of like to sweep things under the rug whenever possible.
Right.
But we had one conversation one time, and I asked him why he was so just hard on me growing up. Like, why he was so strict. And he told me he felt like at the time he had to make a decision between having a relationship with me or having me turn out quote unquote right.
Uh-huh.
And he chose to have me turn out right rather than have a relationship with me. And I think now, I mean, he kind of sees where he probably could have done both.
Yeah.
But at the time he didn't. So he chose what he thought was best.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in the end it worked out, but it was, And our relationship now is still, it's not the best. He is who he is. And I write on my blog, and that bothers him a lot. There's a lot of things I say that bother him. And because I'm so well known in that teeny tiny little town in Michigan, a lot of people read it.
Oh,
and
wow.
They'll take it to my dad at work. You know, they'll be like, hey, did you see what your daughter wrote? And in that regard, it's very frustrating.
I think
my
mom and, yeah, my mom and dad, I think they go through the same thing about my blog when they're like, when people say, oh, that cartoon, like I can just imagine my dad just turning bright red.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. With embarrassment and anger maybe, but yeah.
And for the most part, like when I wrote my blog post about not believing in hell, that felt like a very fundamental change from the way I was raised. For the most part, like it was all okay, but that disbelief in hell really felt like a personal thing. And I had emailed my dad beforehand just to let him know that, you know, hey, this is what I believe now. And, you know, I am writing about it, you know, just to give you a heads up. I don't want you to read about it on my blog.
What's your blog URL, by the way, just for the listeners?
It's ChristyMadrid.com.
ChristyMadrid.com.
Mm-hmm. ChristyMadrid.
Awesome.
But, and he was very, very cut and dried with me. He emailed me back and he said, I don't read it. Quite frankly, it's embarrassment. And that was that. And, you know, it wasn't what I expected, but at the same time, I don't really know what I expected from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did email me back a little bit later and said, listen, maybe I was a little harsh. You know, I don't read it because it frustrates me, but you know, you've got to do what you've got to do. And I was thankful for the second email, but
bad.
I did get a text message from him last year. I don't even remember. Oh, I do remember what it was. And this is not going anywhere but TLS, right?
Right.
Okay.
No, I'm serious. But
I had written a blog post. I don't remember what it was about, but I used the word goddamn.
Okay.
And it was very much just an expression. And it really, really upset him. And he text messaged me and he said, listen, I know I told you I didn't read your blog, but, you know, I stumbled upon this one and your use of goddamn was highly offensive and inappropriate, and your blog is becoming an embarrassment to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular time, it really, really, it hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want it to. It frustrated me that it did, but it did. And I ended up taking that word out of my blog post, and I text messaged him back later on that night, and I just said, listen, you know, I took the word out of respect for you, said, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I took the word out of respect for him, and he texted me back, and he said, now that's learning to be the light, which is the tagline for my blog. And I tell you what, as much as I try and cultivate a very peaceful approach and reaction to things, that boiled my blood.
I bet.
Just the fact that he would kind of take my own personal tagline and kind of use it against me like that.
Yeah.
Oh, that frustrated me. And I texted him back and I was like, listen, don't get me wrong. I am very upset with you. I am very upset with you having to draw lines in the sand and then wait for people to cross them.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, don't think I'm okay with this by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of the conversation, and we've never talked about it again. But
wow.
But that was right before Thanksgiving, and we went to their house for Thanksgiving, and we had a great time, and it was fine, and we didn't talk about it. But that one wasn't as easy for me to brush aside. Like every time I saw him, I thought about that. So there's a lot of ways in which my parents just don't handle what I do and what I believe and what I think. And it does cause tension. It does. But, you know, anytime you default from a known path like that, it's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you're public about it on your blog. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, that was a choice that I made, and it does affect them. It absolutely does, but it's still my choice.
Wow. What a story. I'm amazed at how much time has passed, but that, it's a fascinating story, and I'm glad it sounds like you're really doing well, and Marco sounds cool. Danielle sounds like a sweetheart.
She's absolutely gorgeous, is. I got very lucky.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, isn't she?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, she's got a great smile.
Yes, she does. But I got very lucky with those two. I really did.
What do you guys do?
We own an auto glass company.
Okay.
Marco's very much an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. He has that drive and that entrepreneurial spirit that I just will never understand. But we started an auto glass company 4 years ago, and we just recently put it on the market. So we're looking forward to selling that and getting on to the next thing, which we don't know what it is right now. We'll figure it out when we get there.
Any clues?
But he has last year or 2 years ago, there was a pretty bad storm that hit the eastern side of the United States.
Yeah.
Hurricane Sandy.
Oh, yeah.
And he had been talking to an attorney friend of his. They bounce business ideas back and forth a lot. Mm-hmm. And he had suggested getting into water restoration for floods, hurricanes, that sort of thing. And Marco was very interested in it, looked into the business model, went up to the north part of the state and got certified for it. And then Hurricane Sandy happened. And Marco says to me, I want to go. I want to go help clean that up. And I'm like, Marco, we don't have equipment. We don't have business cards. We don't have anything. And he was like, I want to do it. So he went out and got the equipment, got a trailer, hooked up the van for our current company. I was printing off business cards on our printer and trying to cut them out real fast. Hmm. And he went up there and spent a good month up there, I want to say, at least 3 weeks. And he went door to door helping out people whose houses were flooded and sucked the water out and dealt with the mold. And I mean, if anybody can make it happen, he can. So we still have the equipment for that. We don't do it. We just don't have the time. But that might be something that we bring back to the table once our traditional company has sold. But mm-hmm.
I don't know. So water restoration, you mean clean up after water damage?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. By the way, I don't know. I've told you this many times before, but you have a gift for photography. Your photographs are amazing.
Thank you very much. You know,
like seriously, have you done anything with that, or do you see a future in that, or?
You know what? I have not, and I don't see a future in it, only because I'm just the technical aspects of it. I like to know enough to be able to have decent photos for my website, mm-hmm. but I took a beginning photography class, and it just more frustrated me than anything.
Well, no, you've got a natural gift for it. I know there's the whole technical side, but I know people who've gone through all the technical stuff, and their photographs are totally uninspiring.
Yes.
But you've got an eye. You've got a gift. I mean, what you accomplish with whatever you're using, even if it's
iPhone,
it's just yep. unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate
outstanding photographs.
Thank you.
I should actually turn you on to a website of a guy who does a whole thing on iPhone photos only or something like
that.
Oh,
really?
I'll send you the link.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
And can I'm going to get this recording all together.
Absolutely.
Wow, we went twice as long as normal, but
I'm and a that's talker.
All your it's all your fault.
I know.
And do you mind if I add your picture?
You go right ahead.
Okay, awesome. And it's only for TLS, so
okay.
No worries.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks so much for talking with me, Christy.
I'm sorry?
Thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me. That was very exciting.
And we'll see you at the Last Supper.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Say
bye-bye.
Hi to Marco and Daniela.
I will.
Alrighty. Awesome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That went extra long today, and Christy and I admitted it, but we usually go 20 minutes. If you want me to interview you, just let me know, and we'll get you on to our Meet a Member podcast for the Last Supper. So, love you guys. Look forward to seeing you at the Last Supper. Bye for now.